deliberately destroy, damage, or obstruct something, especially for political or military advantage. If that's what sabotage means, what exactly do we mean when we say sexual sabotage? That's coming up next, right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. Edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. I'm your host, Parker J. Thank you so much for being here with me for this special edition. I consider this a special edition of the show because the information that you're going to receive is information I had no idea about until I listened to Soaring Eagle Radio's founder, Dr. Mike Spalding, and his podcast a little over 2 months ago. I had sat at the computer, and I remember I was at the kitchen table, and I sat back against the chair, and I was stunned by the information I had just listened to. And all of a sudden, this picture of darkness that encapsulates our land came over me. And I remember hearing the Lord said, "What are you going to do about this now? Because now you know, what are you going to do?" And I remember thinking, "Well, Lord, I want to present this information to someone else who may not know about this." And that's what we did. So I contacted Dr. Spalding, and I said, "Dr. Spalding, this is probably the fifth or sixth guest I've probably called from his podcast lineup there, but he's very gracious." And I said, "Is it okay if I talk with Dr. Reisman myself?" He said, "Sure." He did an e-introduction. And so it's been a while waiting, but I'm so glad to present this information to you. When I looked up the term sexual, when I looked up the term sabotage and then combined it to sexual sabotage, of course, some things may go through your mind. You think about some of the humorous things that we put on TV, such as someone trying to stop someone else further than that. This is sabotage against our own human sexuality to completely, deliberately destroy, damage, or obstruct, especially for political or military advantage. Who could possibly benefit from destroying human sexuality? That's something you need to consider. Who can possibly benefit from destroying our human sexuality, from taking the way that God created us to be and turning us into something we were never meant to be? Who benefits from that? That's a question I want you to ask yourself as you listen to the information that we're going to present. I always tell you, don't take my word for it. Go ahead, do your own research. Don't believe what everyone tells you. We have a tendency right now to regurgitate what someone feeds us, but you want to make your own plate of information. You want to go ahead and look into the cabinets and the cupboards and draw out the ingredients to make sure that the information that you are presented is true. So don't just take our word for it. You can go to Dr. Reisman's site called the ReismanInstitute.org and look up the information for yourself. Double check what she says. See what's going on. See what kind of grayness and shadowy errors are going on, because it will change your life once you hear some of the things we're going to tell you today. This is going to be part of a series called Sexual Sabotage. This is simply part one. There isn't enough time to really dig deep down and dirty into the topic. So I've asked Dr. Reisman to come back a few times just so we can give you really the tip of the iceberg of this sexual sabotage that has made its way through the generations of humanity. Notice I didn't say any particular culture or ethnic group. I said humanity. And that is very important as we discuss this topic. You can call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air. Or you can hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Conflict is expensive.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
And this is Get Hope.
Emotionally, financially, relationally, it diverts valuable energy essential to accomplishing just normal activities that we're involved in every day. A study of on-the-job issues ranked marriage and career conflicts as events that rob people of personal peace and productivity. You know, Jesus came to resolve the ultimate conflict between humans and God, and he's still resolving conflict today. A conflicted relationship that comes before God in prayer suddenly gives way to avenues of forgiveness and reconciliation. Got a big conflict in your life? Well, tell Jesus about it in detail, and you'll be surprised at what happens.
In today's chaotic world, isn't it good to know there's hope? And if you'd like more hope, Lauren Libby has resources available,
including a free 30-day devotional he'd be happy to send to you.
Get yours today at GetHopeRadio.com.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. So glad you are here with me today. We are going to be talking about sexual sabotage. This is part one of our series. And let me remind you that sabotage means deliberately destroy, damage, or obstruct something, especially for political or military advantage. The question I asked you in the introduction of the broadcast is this: who would gain political or military advantage for changing human sexuality? That's a question I want you to consider as we go into our topic today. We're talking to Dr. Judith Reisman. She is the founder of the Reisman Institute, and you can go online and visit to the reismaninstitute.org. Tons and tons of information about sexuality, in particular how one man and his cohorts helped destroy the generations of humans as it pertained to sexuality. Some of those people you are very familiar with, particularly Hugh Hefner, who came up with Playboy magazine, and other people that are involved with that. What's so interesting is that deviant sexuality is such a part of our life that we don't remember a time when it wasn't, because we have been robbed of that. As a matter of fact, there are people who particularly scorn the idea that a person would not have premarital sex. Like, why would you do something like that? What struck me as I listened to Dr. Spalding's podcast with the young lady I'm about to bring on board now was that if you understand the power of one person, this one person who I never met, never knew, affected generations of people who never knew who he was either. And when I say this information should have been presented to us and it wasn't, what does that mean? Why would you hide something this important when people talk about human sexuality? Everyone's on board. We're trying to okay various deviant sexual lifestyles because it's my life. I want to do what I want to do. We live now in a post-truth society where the truth doesn't matter. I just want to feel good about whatever I'm doing. However, we also are people who want to know the truth. So even though we live in a post-truth society, choose to ignore it, we can. But what if you weren't even told? That's the sabotage, deliberately destroy, damage, or obstruct for some advantage. Don't take my words for it. Take it from someone who has seen it infiltrate our society for a long time. And so I'm going to introduce to some Judith Reisman, Dr. Judith Reisman. Dr. Reisman, how are you doing today?
I'm delighted to have a chance to be on your program, Parker, and to speak with your wonderful audience. Really, it's a delight. I wish I
I'm
didn't
so
have
glad.
To say the things I say, but it is a delight anyway.
I'm so glad you are, because like I said, when I heard this information from Dr. Spaulding's podcast, it was a crossroads for me. I said, well, am I going to present this information to my listeners? And if only one person benefits from it, that one person is helped by it. And I know I sat there, and I even remember what came over me. I sat there and I was struck dumb. And I said, I can't believe I never even heard of this man. And I remember you mentioned how a movie was made back in 24 with one of my favorite actors, Liam Neeson. And I was like, he did this? Did he know about this man's background? Did he know about what he did to children? Did he know about these very pseudoscientific studies that have now infiltrated our society as law? I mean, did he know that, or was he just getting paid to play a part? Did he know that? Would he have played this man had he known all this information? Why is there a cover-up of this gentleman? You know, right now, people are attacking all sorts of political candidates, pulling all kind of dirt up and everything just to make them look bad. But we protect. Those were the questions that were going through my brain as I listened to that. But people may be asking, Parker, who in the world are you talking about? So let me go ahead. Let's start from the beginning. Dr. Reisman, who am I referring to? Why should he be such a big deal to the people who are advocating for going back to our Christian roots?
Well, you're talking about Dr. Alfred Kinsey. He has an institute named after him, you know, at Indiana University, a respectable institution. They knew what was going on. Dr. Alfred Kinsey is the most often cited person in the field of human sexuality and psychology. If you're a grad student, it'll be tucked in there. Well, we know that 10% to 37%, actually 50%, Kinsey said, are homosexual. We know that 27% of our women in the 1950s were having abortions when they were married. We know all of these things. How did we know? We knew because Dr. Alfred Kinsey, a bona psychopath, absolutely a pedo criminal, had published two books, one in 1948, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, and the next one in 1953, Sexual Behavior in the Human Female. And these books were lauded all over the world, globally. They were translated into 14 languages immediately to transfer this information, these frauds about what we still can understand with our greatest generation that saved the world from in World War II from fascism. And he had done this under the Rockefeller Foundation grant, working, actually, it turns out, with the CIA and doing his malevolent, vicious, torturous on at least 2,035 infants and children, which was part of his original book, and both of his books, but his original book, because most of this was done to little boy babies and little boy children. This has become the dogma that has directed the world. And you're mentioning Liam Neeson, which, you know, he was a hero. I mean, Liam Neeson portrayed Kinsey as a pioneering sexologist. He told the truth about ourselves to the public. We didn't want to know the truth about mom and dad, what they were doing behind the they were actually engaged in adultery. Everybody's mother and father, you know, had done all these adventurous things. That is the man that Liam Neeson, you know, portrayed as this noble character. And in fact, the biggest, the worst sadomasochistic pedophile criminal that any nation has ever produced. And he's been covered up since 1948 till today. Look it up on Wikipedia, which hates me, but as you mentioned before, they can't disprove what I've said.
One thing you mentioned on Dr. Spalding's show was that you were attacked, and then you were discredited. And I think this is a very important part, not discredited because anything that you said, you were discredited because you told the truth. And I was thinking about that because there are going to be people listening who are saying, well, who is Dr. Judith Reisman? What makes her such an expert on this? You know, and I think it's important because what people tend to do is when they hear people of a scientific background make certain claims, the first thing you want to say is peer reviewed or what do other peers say, things of that nature. And so I want you can be as transparent as you like. Tell us about what makes you understand what was going on behind the scenes of this. What's your background in things of that nature?
Yeah, well, I suppose it started when I was at university, Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio. I was doing work on pornography at that time. It was 1975, I think. And I was looking at Hugh Hefner's products, and I saw all these cartoons and these photographs of children, even 6 years old, you know, in bed with adults. And I said to myself, my goodness, you know, this magazine is being used, is being believed, is being worshipped in a way, you know, all over the world. And this is what they're promoting, outside, of course, of the fact that the rest of the magazines portrayed women as objects and glorified the blonde, you know, who's airbrushed all over the place. And that, so I said, what is that about? And at the same time, found out my daughter, one of my daughters, had been raped at age 10. Yeah. And, you know, so all this culminated in what is going on? Why is this happening? Well, of course, now it's so common. I mean, the idea of child pornography, the idea of children being sexually assaulted at the youngest ages has become normalized. I mean, we know that's everywhere. We have a report from the AP that deals with school-on-school peer sexual abuse. And we're talking about 17,000 children who reported that they were sodomized, raped, sexually abused with an instrument. Excuse me for being blunt like this on your program.
You're fine.
But I mean,
you're fine.
Yeah, that's what we've ended up, you know, with because we listened to this man who was promoted. He didn't do it himself. He was a nobody. You know, listen, Kinsey was a not unknown backwoods kind of guy that was picked up and became the famous scientist. He was picked up and promoted through the Rockefeller Foundation, through millions of dollars, through their contacts in all of the newspapers of the country at the time. And their publishers. So this was, and of course, everyone in those years who was in science would be afraid to contradict anything that the Rockefellers were supporting, because these guys, Rockefeller Foundation, was the mainstay for any grant somebody wanted to get, you know, any credentials that you wanted to increase your credentials. You could not go against the Rockefeller Foundation. So that was happening at that same time. And I decided I had to do something. I had to speak to this issue. So I started researching Playboy, and yes, I proved that they had been promoting child sexual abuse and child pornography, producing child pornography, since the late 50s or early 50s, depending on how you look at it. And I was sued by them, by Playboy, for saying that, so you can know that that happened in the Netherlands, which was, could, you know, at the time in 1994, that was the most permissive, you know, community you could find. So, but we won that case, absolutely. The judge said, it's not libel when it is true. And I had sent the judge all the samples, pages, pictures, everything. So we won that case. You never read about it in the front pages of the New York Times or anywhere, I'm sure. Yeah. But, yeah, we won them on libel for child pornography, for child sexual abuse promotion. So anyway, I said, wait a minute, this is wild. Where did Hefner get this idea from? Where did that come from? Because I knew he was, like most guys in those years, a virgin in age 22. Yeah, he believed in keeping himself for his fiance, which was the way most young guys, especially that were in college at the time, you know, behaved. That was their belief system. And I traced it back to Dr. Alfred Kinsey, because Hefner said, I believed all these strange things until I read Sexual Behavior in the Human Male by Dr. Alfred Kinsey. And Hefner said, I will be Kinsey's pamphleteer. Yeah? And those are his words, his pamphleteer. I will get this information out to the public in my own way, which was through this magazine called Playboy. So that's where, you know, I put those two pieces together and then started researching Kinsey. You know, I went, you know, from the popular pamphleteer's promotion of children as viable sex targets to the origin, which was Dr. Alfred Kinsey. And then, my goodness, I found out that his work had they absolutely changed all of our sex laws, you know, in 19, you know, sodomy, rape, you could go to prison for life in most states, and in half the states, you could get, in our country, you could get the death penalty, yeah, for those things. Seduction was against the law in most states, and in California, seduction was a felony. So he's had a major impact, Kinsey, because they were quoting Kinsey, of course, not Playboy. They would be quoting Kinsey in the law, the American Law Institute Model Penal Code. All this came out of my research into Dr. Alfred Kinsey.
When we get back, we're going to talk about how Dr. Kinsey's heinous experiments affected an ethnic group that is currently felt in present time. When I heard about it and read about it through Dr. Reisman's site, and you can read about it too by simply going to the reismaninstitute.org, again, the reismaninstitute.org, it burned me and it made me so angry. And I hope when you hear it, it makes you angry too. Right now, we're in a lot of upheaval about racial tensions. This should get you just as burnt up as that. And we're going to talk about it on the other side of the break. You're welcome to join in the conversation by calling in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show. with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to the Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. So very glad you're here with me today as we talk about part one of our series, Sexual Sabotage. Sabotage. Deliberately destroy, damage, or obstruct something, especially for political or military gain. We're talking to Dr. Reisman. She has been one of the most foremost critiques and experts on the work of Dr. Alfred Kinsey, whose information studies and heinous research changed the understanding of human sexuality since the 40s, like 1948, when his book first came out. And from then, it had a sweeping change over sexuality in our world. Before the break, I told you that I was going to tell you about how this man's heinous research affected one ethnic group. And you know what that ethnic group was? It was the African American ethnic group. Because of his studies that infiltrate into the African-American culture, fatherlessness, broken homes, single parenthood happened in our culture today. It wasn't always like that. And I remember hearing older African-American women in my church and places talk about how Black men used to be the support of their communities. Right now, there's a lot of racial tension happening in our world. People are jumping on board, trying to do what they can to fight for African Americans who have been oppressed throughout the years. This should just burn you just as much, because through the vehicle of sexuality, this man destroyed an entire culture. It's not that we can't be redeemed, because Christ can redeem the broken. Christ can redeem the cracked. But because of this, he experimented with the African American community. You don't believe me? Go to Dr. Reisman's site, thereismaninstitute.org. Look it up for yourself. I did, because I didn't believe her. I said, no, they wouldn't go. They wouldn't do this. And I looked it up and I started to cry. And it made me angry, because in this talk about racial tensions, one of the things that happens is that there were people who felt as if African Americans weren't human. We know back in the day about the founding fathers. We know they said one Black person is 3/5 of a person, right? We know that's not true, but that's what they thought. There are still some people who felt as if, you know, African-Americans or anyone of a person of color, not human. So let's experiment like we're monkeys, like we're rats in a lab. Burn you, what does? And we feel the effects of that today. That's one of the other reasons that I had to at least give my platform over to Dr. Reisman, just so you'll know. Again, you have to ask yourself the question, who benefits from destroying human sexuality? Ask yourself that question. Who benefits? Why would they benefit? Why do that? You know, the Bible says we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against spiritual principalities in high places. the stuff that we see in front of us is just symptomatic. It's not the root cause. The root cause is sin. The root cause is evil. It's this warfare between God and Satan, and we're in the middle of it. Sexual sabotage. That's happening today. Again, who benefits from destroying human sexuality? And Dr. Reisman, I want you to discuss about what he used his scientific studies for and how that impacted the African-American community. And if I said anything wrong, please feel free to correct me, because I'm always open to correction.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, well, where did he get these children from? He had, you can look on my, in my book, look on my website, and you'll see there are five actual charts that he published. He printed these things with ages of the children, the infants and children, a child that was 2 months of age, and another one 5 months of age, another one 4 years, who were being abused, who were being I'm saying masturbated, right? And also penetrate. I mean, who were absolutely being traumatized, right? For 24 hours around the clock, okay? You're talking about thousands of these children. And I said, well, where did you get these children? And they were timed, you know, to the minute, to the second, not just the minute, to the second, with a stopwatch, you know. So, and they were filmed. Now, wait a minute. That's an organized event with numerous people involved doing this to large numbers of children. Where did these children come from, right? Well, he said at one point that he got children from, quote, the ghetto, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And when you read the rest of his work and his support his staff, you know, he had a supportive staff. They're describing various areas that they went to where they had complete control, complete access, black communities that they went to. And then you look back and you see where the black community was before Kinsey. I mean, we had more marriages between black women and black men in the late 1900s than whites, you know. So what was going on? We have there's a picture, I don't know if it's in sexual sabotage, of the 1952 Ebony, which was the graduation booklet, of a black sorority, pictures of the sorority. These were women who were graduating at that time from the Indiana University. These are, you know, women who are making it in the world, moving up, but they'll be married. They'll be married, and the guys were serving in the Army. We have pictures of that. These guys would come back from the service, and what did they come back to? Who knew that this was going on? And you raised before what happened to me in terms of I was shut down. Yes, it wasn't just me. In 1954, there was a congressional investigation of the Rockefeller Foundation and the other philanthropies, because there was a decision that a lot of their work was to support anti-American, anti-Judeo-Christian activities, and so they were being investigated for that, and the Congress was allowed to investigate everything. And they were allowed to investigate Rockefeller, but they were not allowed to investigate Dr. Kinsey's work. That they drew the line at that. They were threatened. It was called the Reese Committee. You can look that up anywhere. The Reese Committee, R-E-E-C-E Committee. They were threatened with the loss of all of their funding, touch on anything about the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, and the other philanthropies if they dared to look at Kinsey. Well, what was it that was so important that they had to hide from the world at that time about what he was doing? And I'm telling you, the reason was that his research, that was in 1953, his research was funneled into our laws, to change all our laws, to allow the sex education to go into all our schools. And the first place that sex education took in Washington, D.C. in 1953, 54, I don't remember now. And it was in the black community because the black parents were outraged. They said, you can't do this. We are doing, they were doing well. I mean, the family was intact at that time. And they said, you're going to do this. You're going to bring this sex education. And they described what they were educating the children. It was what they're doing today. It was horrific. You're going to bring this into our schools, and this is the board that was going to allow that and all that. And you will end up, this is going to sexualize our children. You're going to hypersexualize the kids. Oh, no, this would never happen. So they piloted their first attempt to bring in this hypersexualized sex education into the schools in the black community. So, and this ran throughout everything that Kinsey was doing. He would bring the black community down through destroying the family, because the father was still intact in those years. The father was still there. The mother was still there. They were still controlling and directing their children. And then he stepped in, and that, of course, transferred to everybody. I mean, it took over the whole country. It took over the globe.
You know, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. And he says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. This becomes especially poignant when you recognize the effect this man had. When I tell you, I was sitting there in shock, never heard of this guy or anything. And I was sharing it with a sister in Christ, Jackie. I was talking to her about, oh, she said, oh, yeah, Kinsey destroyed a lot of people. She said it like that because she had known about it, but I hadn't until I heard Dr. Spaulding's show. And I commend Dr. Spaulding a lot because he hits on these topics he would want to listen to. But I think they're entirely necessary. And the fact that it hit the African-American culture, that people thought so little of a group of people, that you would just take this and just experiment on people. And I feel as if you're going to get mad about police brutality, about oppression against the African-American community, you should definitely get mad about this. People use the African-American community as a laboratory. You know, one thing, some of the, and this is not a political thing at all. I'm just going to say it. It's not a political thing at all. One thing I heard one commenter say, he was looking at videos, whatever. He said, you know, the fact is that people don't see, there are some people who don't see other people as human beings. And that's very important. See, God sees us all as his children, but his children don't see each other as children as well. And when I was listening to you on that show, it really made me sad, particularly when you hear that he hurt children. He hurt babies. You know, and on later on, probably on the other side of the next break we have, I want you to talk about your Phil Donahue experience. I want you to talk about that because I think it's extremely important. Because that's not yet, though, not yet. I want to go over a couple more things first. Because, again, I hope you understand the thing here about sabotage. So you have a man who deliberately destroyed children's lives through his experimentation. You hear a man who damaged a whole community, African-American community, and then it spread to everybody else. And then you hear about people obstructing the knowledge so you don't know about it. So you just swallow it and just swallow it. You know, that's why I was telling Dr. Risen earlier. I said sometimes we just regurgitate what other people say. Here's the thing. If you want to look this stuff up, look it up yourself. What is of interest to me, though, Dr. Risen, I want you to talk about Indiana University. I think that's the university they have is research. Is it available to the public? Is it available to the public to look at? Oh, you laughed,
no.
Dr. Risen.
Yeah. No, well, his books are available, but his data, where he got it, you know, all that kind of thing. No, not available, not at all. And, of course, none of that was legal. None of that was scientific. And nobody fought it at the time, and they're still not fighting it, except they fight us. You know, I mean, a group of people are now trying to finally, again, to get the Kinsey Institute investigated. I tried to get them investigated in 1995. We almost made it in 1995. But, it fell through. They blocked it again, obstructed it again, because it seems to be very important to the powers that be, to those who would establish, if you allow me to say so, a tyrannical society, a society that will be run by the elite, and everybody underneath will be unnecessary unless they have a worthy reason. You know, I'm returning to Tom Saul goes into the history of racism, and he talks about Dunbar. The school in Washington at the time that was turning out kids who were black kids who were going to the top of the line universities, for crying out loud. And all of this got destroyed. Everything was destroyed. Yeah.
And I hope that people listening, because right now there's this undercurrent. While people are, you know, doing the best they can to fight and protest against inequality and stuff like that, it's almost as if they don't want to consider, they don't want to look at the source of it. So they may say, well, Dr. Risen is not African American. Why should I listen to her? I hope that you really don't do that. I hope that you say, Dr. Risen's wrong. I'm going to look at it for myself. I really hope that's what you say. I really sincerely hope, because I looked it up because I could not believe this. And then I sat here because I have always been of the opinion that one person can make the largest impact in a pond. You know, I've always been of that, just in general, you know. And I was thinking, here's this man. I never met him, never knew him, never knew about him, never heard about him, affecting my life today. I mean, so many people, we joke about pornography now, you know, we joke about it in movies, people accept it, husbands and wives may participate in it, they bring other people into their marriage, open relationships, now, we just talked about the whole, I don't know if you follow Dr. Risen, but like Jada and Will Smith, they talked about their whole affair, everyone knew they had an open marriage, you know, it's all this stuff, it's just so commonplace. Again, I ask you, who benefits from destroying human sexuality? Who benefits from destroying human sexuality as God made it? One thing I always say too, God created sex. So it wasn't like it's bad. You know what I mean? He created sex. He, you know, I was watching, Dr. Risen, don't laugh, but I was watching an old movie called In Me Mind, and with Lou Gossett Jr. and Dennis Quaid. And in the movie, Lou Gossett plays the alien. He's asexual. You know, he can reproduce without a female, you know, because his race is reptilian. And I was laughing because, you know, it was just, you know, this is a funny thing. God could have did that. You know, there are species on our planet who reproduce that way. But no, he created human sexuality as an act to be performed between a husband and his wife, you know, always signifying the kind of intimacy he wishes to have with us, not sexually per se, but just that intimacy that husband and wife have, you know. And then Adam and Eve, you know, crunch, crunch, and then it went downhill from there. So we're not saying that human sexuality hasn't been attacked for a very long time. It has been. But here we have documented proof where you can see where it happened from. And Dr. Risen, at great cost to herself, she pulled all this information together. If you look on her Wikipedia article, yes, she does have a Wikipedia. I think they talk about you as a anti-vaxxer, I think. I think that was that in Czech before we spoke. Something like that.
Anti-anything. Yeah, they don't.
Yeah, anti-something. Yeah. And you can look it up for yourself. And then look up Dr. Risen's research. Just go ahead and verify her research for yourself. That's all I ask. And I think she'd be open to it. If you found something that she didn't know,
go ahead.
Let her know. You know, she'd be like, oh, I didn't know that, you know.
And I've gotten responses. I've gotten emails where people give me information from these, you know, which is incredibly valuable. That's how I met the lady who was being abused by her father, you know, who was, she as a child, sending the answers, the abuse information, the films that they were making, the father was making, to Kinsey. That's how I met that lady, Esther. She, you know, it's through an email. She had heard about me on Dobson's program. That was one time only, by the way. I mean, I'm a little difficult to have. There's certain people that you got to be rather brave, right?
Because what you're talking about is not easy. It's not easy to talk about sex. Sex is a very intimate thing. We understand that. It's very difficult, particularly in the church. I think the church has fallen in this regard because they made sex so holy, that you forgot that people have feelings, that God gave us, you know, the urge and these things too. Yeah. And he gave us marriage so they could perform that thing, you know. And well-intentioned, I'm not saying it's wrong, but well-intentioned, the purity movement, you know, they put all this poor pressure on the poor girl, like the guy has nothing to do with it either, you know, put all the pressure on the poor girl, you know, and I said, you know, God called us.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dr. Eisen.
For a while, you know, guys, they used to believe, I mean, even Hefner, remember? You know, they had to keep themselves pure. Look at the venereal disease rate. You know, you keep yourself pure for your fiance, and you're not going to have to worry about venereal diseases. But it wasn't that. It was that they were, when they followed the rules, the Judeo-Christian belief system, people used to believe in holding hands as being the intimacy, and developing a relationship, a friendship before they got married. That was the belief system that we had. It worked.
When we come back, I'm going to have Dr. Risen share her experience on Phil Donahue. Now, some of you may go, Phil Donahue, who's that? First of all, you're not going to make me that old, okay? I remember sneaking to watch Phil Donahue on TV back in the day. So y'all not going to make me that old, okay? Secondly of all, I think it's important because she was in a venue where people didn't quite believe her and people were trying to obstruct her from the truth. And then when she demanded the truth be shown, things changed. And I want her to tell you about that. But you still have an opportunity to call in and weigh in. Call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter, Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
I feel so hopeless.
Is there any hope? I just feel like there's no hope at all.
Is there any hope?
Get hope.
Winston Churchill and my dad are my personal heroes.
That's TWR President Loren Libby.
Now, they knew how to boost the morale and confidence of people under fire. Churchill exuded hope, and it was infectious among those he touched. Hope is a pervasive theme in the Bible. In fact, the word is used 175 times. Now, why is hope so important? The Bible says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Hope gives endurance in the face of adversity. My father never lost hope. He always saw the sun over another hill of adversity. Lost hope in your family, business, relationships? Ask Jesus to speak to you. Then begin to feel the power of hope in your life.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at getHoperadio.com. That's GetHoperadio.com.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. So glad you're here with me today. This is a very special show. We're talking about sexual sabotage, part one of our series. Again, as I've been saying each top of the segment of our show, sabotage, deliberately destroy, damage, or obstruct something, especially for political or military advantage. Dr. Alfred Kinsey single-handedly, with some help though, changed how we view human sexuality back in the 1940s. And that man's effect has been seen from each generation to the next. This is the power of one person. This is the power of what one person can do to the human race. Like Dr. Reisman said earlier in the broadcast, she said it leached out from the African-American community, his sex education talks, which destroyed the community from a very close-knit community to one that's very fragmented in and of itself. And we're seeing that now. We see that now in our day and age. It's almost a joke when you say, you know, black men don't take care of their kids. That's not what I believe. Please understand, it's not what I believe, but that's what's propagated. That's the stereotype. And then from that, it reaches on to everywhere else. So I'm not making this stuff up. If you don't believe me, go to Dr. Reisman's site, thereismaninstitute.org. Look it up for yourself. I hope you look it up for yourself. Redo your own research and discover whether or not she's telling the truth. She does invite that. One thing that really blew me away was when she talked about her ex, Donahue. Phil Donahue, for those of you who are younger than me, Phil Donahue was a big talk show host back in the day. He used to be on TV all the time, and she was on that show talking about this very thing. But Dr. Reisman, tell us the context of what happened toward the end of that program and how people reacted when you demanded that the information this man's science was based on be revealed to the public.
Yeah, well, it was fascinating because there's no question that Phil Donahue, who he established his position right at the beginning. He said to the audience, you have to know where I stand. I've written a book with the director of the Kinsey Institute. They are a fine institute. And he went on and gave a little intro that way. And he said, and here comes this lady, this woman with a book, saying that Kinsey was a dirty old man. And he said, and he was, I mean, she says he was. And he says, but we've trained, that's what he added, we trained a generation, and now it's three, but he, at that time, 1990, we trained a generation of sex educators based on what a dirty old man did and said, right? And then he said he was a happily married man, which is not true. Kinsey was a sadomasochistic homosexual, no question about that, or bi-homosexual, it could be, we don't know. And he stopped, sleeping with his wife as soon as he produced the children that were necessary, and he went upstairs and continued having sex with his various male friends and colleagues and people that worked with him. So that was the end of that. He was not, he was not a normal guy. He just wasn't. So later,
real quickly, Dr. Reisman, let me interrupt really quickly. I could hear someone saying, what are you trying to say? Because he was gay? It says not that. We're not going to talk about that right now, but we're saying, and along with that, he also hurt children. So we're not talking about just homosexuality. I want to just kind of clear that up real quick. I hear somebody going, Parker!
Oh, okay.
But go ahead. Keep going.
Well, if he was, this was what he was doing. He was upstairs with guys, not downstairs with his wife. Okay. Yeah. So anyway,
exactly.
And yes, of course, the point is he was involved and had a group that were raping children. And he called all that orgasms. He said when a child screams, when a child faints, when a child has convulsions, that's an orgasm. That's what he said. That's what he wrote at the bottom of his description of all these children, all of them under 12, in pages 160 and 161. He said, those responses of throwing, of fainting, and of hysterical weeping are orgasms by the children. And so when we hear a pedophile or a pederast or somebody who's raping a child say, the child enjoyed it, and you ask them, how did they know? And they'll say, well, they had an orgasm. What they mean is the child was fainting, was screaming, was crying, was being tortured. Where did they hear that from? Kinsey claimed to prove all that. Yeah? And so anyway, he absolutely refused to put up the charts, and in the beginning, I went on the program. I said, well, you have to show the charts, because I don't want to, you know, just address this from my thoughts. You put up the information from the books. And he was supposed to do it, and he wouldn't do it, and he wouldn't do it. And finally, I had the open mic, and I said, Phil, put up the charts of Kinsey's abuse of the children. The public has a right to know. The Americans have a right to know. And so he said, okay. And he finally, toward the very end, put those charts, or put one up. It was table 34. He put one up with the 5-month-old who was being sexually assaulted I forgot how many minutes, and the 4-year-old who was being assaulted around the clock, and so on, that he claimed had an orgasm. And at that point, the people in the audience absolutely stood. They were outraged. And you don't get to see it, but at the end, there was a one woman that was standing there, absolutely livid. She was there was one of the black audience, and she had her arms crossed. And she said, this is terrible. What he has done is terrible. And she said, you know, and she defended me, because the attack was on me, of course, by Phil, but not by the audience. The audience said, we did not know this. This is absolutely horrible. They could there's no orgasm a 3-month-old has. There's no orgasm a child being abused is having. That's got to be a person who's a sadomasochistic pedophile. There's nobody else that would say that. And so anyway, and afterwards, he was very upset with me. He did not like the fact that he had been downed by his own audience, because Phil, you know, Donahue was used to being celebrated by his audience. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's amazing, people were probably falling for what they was being said. And I think about how it must be difficult for you, because you feel like you're talking to this vacuum. You know, you look like, why don't you believe me? I'm not making it up, you know. And you sit there, and I remember talking to Dr. Spalding later, and that's why I keep asking our audience the question, who benefits from destroying human sexuality? You know, and why would they sexually sabotage? Because sex is a beautiful thing. It's beautiful within the confines God gave us, you know. And it's interesting, because I was sitting there, and this, I never forget this sense of despair came over me. And I saw from the first time, I could be honest, the first time, this picture of darkness. I said, oh my goodness, this is what the Bible says about, you're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places, you know. And here we are, the collateral damage of that. And the thing is, though, is that Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that is the good news, that Satan and his cohorts cannot completely destroy us, because Jesus will fight the battle for us. So even though there is sexual sabotage, God, who is full of power, can heal us. You hear about women and young children who have been molested by parents, molested by uncles, friends, cousins, whatever, right? Been molested. You know what they say? If it wasn't for the Lord, where would I be? Only He can pour and heal. You know, the thing about sexuality, what's happening is that there are people rising up going, that's insane. Why would I want to do that? You know, there are people, there's a new generation out there of children who are saying, I'm going to hold my chastity because God told me to. But here's the thing, and I want to put this out there. Being a virgin or keeping your chastity or adhering back to God, let's say you weren't and you want to go back, that's fine. You know, it doesn't make you a better person, okay? It makes you obedient. That's all it does. You're being obedient. You know, some people feel like, and that's where the purity movement messed up at, they wanted to put these people who dedicate themselves to purity on these high pedestals. I said, no, you're just being
oh,
obedient.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're doing what God says, because I was, you know.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wanted to clarify that because some people say, well, Parker, you're advocating for virginities because people are holier than virgins. No, they're not. No, they're not. Not at all. You know,
no,
but it's just,
not at all.
What
we're, you know, so yes, and by being obedient, people had found that they could be living much more. They would be living healthier lives, more economically advantaged lives. They would be able to take care of their children better. Why? Because they were being obedient. Yeah, no, I think your point is well taken.
I always want to make sure I do that because the purity movement, probably in conjunction with trying to fight this stuff, has made a huge error for that, you know. And even Samuel said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. You know, he was talking to, I think he's talking to Saul. And he said that, you know, when you don't have to sacrifice your virginity because I love so-and-so, not to cheat, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter, whatever. And I'm not saying people who have done that are not redeemable. I would never say that. I would never say that because I don't believe that at all. And the Lord doesn't either. You know, he talked to the woman who was caught in adultery. What did he say? Go and what? Sin no more. And he could
no more. Yeah.
He said, go and sin no more. So even though there's sexual sabotage, guess what? God can bring you out the sabotage. You may have been sabotaged. You know, I was thinking about young children who, like these children who were part of this experiment, their lives were destroyed, damaged, and obstructed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And
nobody,
guess what?
And when I wrote to them in the first place, when I read all this, I wrote to the Institute and I said, you know, what kind of follow-up were you doing on these children, you know, on these subjects, you know?
Yeah.
I said, what happened to them, right? That was the first question. What happened to these children? And they wrote back, the head of the Kinsey Institute at the time wrote back, and he said, well, we don't know. It was either impossible or too expensive to find out. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Here you are destroying a child's life, a baby's life, but we don't have the time to look back. Now, we will be in an uproar. We should be in an uproar about this. And then I could hear people saying, you know what, that's just y'all tripping out. Again, go do your own research. Don't trust me. Don't trust me. I'm fine with that. Don't trust me. Don't trust Dr. Reisman. Do your own research.
Yeah,
look at her sources and say, okay, I'm going to follow the trail for myself and see what you find. Again, you have to ask yourself the question, who benefits from destroying human sexuality?
Yeah.
That's something you
Who's
have to destroy.
Benefit,
and I want to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to benefit from destroying this country? Who is going to benefit? Yeah.
Yeah. Ask yourself that question and see where you come up with that. And if you don't want to dig into that, fine. I understand that. You know, I think I'm real big about free will. I'm real big about that. But this, I could not be silent. When I heard this on Dr. Spalding's show, and I was scared even. I was like, Lord, what is this? You know, I was thinking, whoop, the CIA comes after poor little Parker, you know? And I'm like, thinking about that, I'm pretty sure they won't.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, who? Before I go, who?
No.
You know, who's that?
Yeah.
But, you know, Dr. Reisman, you suffered a lot from exposing these things. But do you regret any of that?
No, not at all. It's an honor. It's been an honor, honestly. The more people that I can get to see what was done to them, how their lives have been sabotaged, how their children's lives, because there's so much less blame once you understand who did it, how it was done. It wasn't just that were turned against everything that God had laid out to do properly, but you were lied to, and after a while you believed lies. This is three generations
one generation taught the next, and that taught the next. Why do we have these horrible books in the schools today? Why are our children so, you know, subjected to what to this library where they're transgender performers for the little children, for kindergartners? Why do we have these sexual, you know, films and books in our first and second grade, even kindergarten?
Yeah.
That's because the generations have been trained the same way. And yes, and if we can just tell five people, four people, three people who believe, but you're completely right, Parker. People, look it up for yourselves. Just look at the charts that Kinsey produced, that he was perfectly happy to put out in the world, and see what you think.
Thank you so much for being with us for this part one of our, hopefully our multi-part series about sexual sabotage, because again, we have not touched the surface, but I wanted this to be more of an introduction to who Albert Kinsey was, what Dr. Reisman's research provided, you know, showcase that she did suffer professional and personal challenges to herself for putting this information out there. But I truly felt as if one, like, I couldn't be quiet. I couldn't say anything. You know, I couldn't not say anything. I at least wanted to let our listeners know. And maybe one person will go, you know what, Parker, thank you. Or Dr. Reisman, thank you. Or maybe someone out there who's listening may have been part of these experiments. Maybe you need closure.
Yes.
You know, maybe you need that. Like you mentioned the young lady who was part of these experiments, which is horrific when you think about it. It's absolutely horrific that she would be. She's like, that was me. And I know probably you may have thought, well, maybe I'm not doing, you know, I'm sure you had doubts. I'm sure you had doubts before. And maybe she just solidified that, nope, I'm telling you the truth. I'm living witness that this happened.
Yeah.
You know, imagine that.
And she,
you know,
And she sent me her grandfather's certificate from Indiana University Department of Biology. She sent the documents that she had. That showed the relationship between them and Kinsey, that she had traveled to. It was very important for me to get that information.
Yeah. Dr. Reisman, thank you so much for being with us on the show, and we'll talk offline part two of this. And thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Parker. And thank you, your lovely audience. I appreciate everybody who listened. Thanks.
We were talking today to Dr. Judith Reisman. She is the author of the book Sexual Sabotage, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. I didn't really push the book this episode because I really wanted you to go to her website, thereismaninstitute.org, and look up the information that we talked about for yourself so you know and be educated in this regard. Again, I'm going to repeat, sabotage, deliberately destroy, damage, or obstruct something, especially for political or military advantage. Again, I ask you, who benefits from destroying human sexuality? Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day, and God bless.